This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Well, this is kind of wild, isn't it? This is me broadcasting from the headquarters in Houston, Texas, where I can actually see Ron Culver across the way. What a wild, wild Tuesday morning for you. Is this not fun already out of the gate?
This is surreal.
This is surreal. So
it's been 5 years in the making.
A long time. Here for the Final Four in Houston, broadcasting again from the Gal Media headquarters here in downtown Houston. I tell you, this was a fun trip. We're going to get to Lamar Jackson coming up. But I got to tell you this trip that I took yesterday. I get to the airport, and as I get on the plane, it's a very light flight. It's not full. You know, so it's Southwest. We get to pick our seats. So I get on the plane, and I'm walking towards the plane, and the only thing I'm looking for is a window seat. I'm just looking for a window seat, and I see some in the row. And there's a kind of an attractive young woman, mid-early 30s, that's sitting by a window.
Yeah.
She's got the two seats away, but I move over to the window seat. And there's a guy, and he's on the plane with his friend, and he's very, very fun. You can tell he's an open guy, speaks to everybody. He's having a good time, right? What does he do? His buddy sits by the window. He goes sits next to the seat that is one away from the attractive girl. But they're right across from me, okay? So the flight starts, and I break out some stuff, and I'm doing some things. And I look over. They're getting drinks. They're high-fiving each other. I see you, player. I see what you're doing over there. They're having a great time. And I'm like, you know what? I got nothing else to do on this flight. I might as well watch to see how this forms. Does she give him the number? Do they try to, you know, she seems like she's having fun. They're laughing. They're having a great time. And I watch, and the plane, they both exit the same way. And then she says, "It was really nice meeting you." And he goes, and I go, "All right, here it is." And I'm waiting to see how's this going to play out. Might as well, my life is boring. So I might as well just enjoy this show, right? Nothing. So we get to Houston, walk through, I go into the restroom, come out of the restroom, he's talking to his buddy, and his buddy says the same thing I wanted to ask him, which is, how did that go? And he goes, "Oh man," he goes, "I blew it, I mentioned girlfriend." And then he goes, "And then after that, she mentioned boyfriend." And I was like, "Oh man, really?" I was like, for 2 hours, I had nothing else going on in my life but watching you two hang out on the plane. And I thought I was watching a future wedding coming up eventually.
Yeah.
This is going to be a great story. I might have been. There was hardly anybody on the plane. So I was like, I might as well.
They might have turned to you and realize who you were and go, yeah. You speak for a living. Why don't you
hang out? I mean, I had a front row seat to this whole thing.
Yeah.
He bought her drinks. They were drinking.
I mean, think of the speech you could have had.
I know, right?
You know, I remember these two young cats got on a plane together just by happenstance. Yeah. Were seated next to each other.
I would rather watch this guy play his card with a rather relatively attractive woman then read my Final Four notes
right.
that I was bringing with me for nothing else to do.
Because you got plenty of time to read Final Four.
I got plenty of time
notes.
To do that. I was like, oh, shoot, I'll just do that later. Yeah. I might as well enjoy this. I said, I haven't been in the dating scene in 26 years.
I know. I would have asked the flight attendant for some popcorn.
Yeah, I know. I would have said, hey.
Extra bag of peanuts, please.
The stewardess was about my age, right?
Yeah.
She was older. And
they
are
now.
I noticed that.
You don't really see young flight attendants.
I have to admit.
Except in photos of like, hey, look at this girl. She's
and
a flight.
I
You're like,
almost,
is that?
I almost, because she came by and she said, how you doing? You know, she's talking. Again, hardly anybody's on this flight. And I almost said, are you kind of paying attention to this? This is kind of fun. This is kind of a blast. Listen, the reason I bring it up is because you talked about yesterday people watching at airports.
Yes.
And I said that's what was going through my head was paying more attention at airports, especially when you're traveling alone. You don't have kids running around. If you're traveling by yourself and you're just like, hey, you know what? I got to get here 2 hours early. I got a 2 hour flight. What else am I going to do? I can't, you know, I'm just going to
people watch.
I might as well people watch. And I saw this from 30 miles away. I saw this happening. I said that guy is a fun guy. that is making it known that he's a good time.
See, that's why it would be fun to get a flight attendant on.
Yeah, right. Just to ask her that.
And just find different stories. Like, what's, you know, I mean, PC, please. But what's the craziest things that you've seen, or what are things that you've seen?
If both of those two were really in a relationship, like, they, you know.
They weren't.
He
probably was, because he made the mistake. She wasn't.
He said he made the mistake.
Yeah.
He brought it up, and then she brought up boyfriend. So she may not have had one.
I don't think
and
she
just
did.
Deflected it.
I think she was saving face.
Right. Saving face. Like, well, all right. Obviously, this is going to go nowhere. And now I want to let you know it's going nowhere on my end.
Yeah.
Right?
I made the decision, right? Not you.
But I was going, and this is what I told my wife a while ago. I said, please. I said, I just realized that if for whatever reason I end up single at my age, I have no chance. I don't know how to play the game.
I have no idea how
to play the game anymore. I have zero idea what to do. I have no idea.
My son, my oldest, met his girlfriend via Snapchat.
Oh, yeah, right.
And that blew my mind.
I know.
And I'm sitting there like, how does that work? He's like, well, you know, she liked one of my photos. I liked her back. I asked for a follow, blah, 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 blah. And next thing you know, they've been dating for, I think, 6 months now.
Yeah, and it's...
And I'm like, I couldn't survive that. What happened? You don't go to a place anymore and just start talking to someone? Oh, no, nobody does that.
Do you even ask for phone numbers anymore?
No.
Do you just go, what's your social profile? No. Is that what it is?
Yeah,
that how you play the game?
What's your snap?
Yeah, is that it?
What's your snap?
I don't even know.
Can I get your snap?
This is how boring my life is. I swear to God. It's so, like, for me to just sit for 2 hours and watch a guy put on moves on a woman at the airport, and then on a 2-hour flight to see where it's going. Just, I was rooting for the guy.
Of course you were.
I was like.
But you know what? In hindsight, now that you know the whole story.
Yeah.
Good for the girl.
Good for the girl.
Because you know that, you know, this guy's no good for you.
That's right. Exactly. Yep. Exactly.
If he feels he made a mistake mentioning girlfriend.
Well, I wanted to bring that up because that was what you told me about. Hey, people watch.
People watching.
Like, oh, people watching.
It's some of the best. It's one of the best places to do it.
You're right.
And that's why we were talking about it yesterday. Pre-9/11, it was a lot more fun. A
lot more fun.
Like I said, I used to go to the airport to pick up my friends, you know, who were coming back down from the Bay Area in college. And I loved getting there and just like, just hanging out at a restaurant, hanging out in the bar, and just watching people come off the plane, get, you know, or, you know, we were picking up a family member once. I remember, it was crazy, but Richard Simmons came off the plane.
Oh, wow.
And
how great is that?
There and he comes off the plane and, you know, people are like, oh, is that Richard Simmons? That looks like Richard Simmons. And of course it's Richard Simmons.
Yeah.
Nobody else in the world looks
like
him.
Who else would it be?
And then he turned around and looked at the crowd that everyone was kind of whispering and goes, hello, everybody. And then kept going.
I'm who I said I was.
And just like, oh, that's Richard Simmons.
That's
all right,
Richard Simmons.
Recognize that guy from anywhere.
So when I fly home, it's an early morning flight Sunday, but when I fly home, I'll see if I can come up with a similar people-watching thing.
It might be some hungover people. It's not going to be the church crowd.
No, it definitely
won't be a church crowd, so you're good to go.
Oh, goodness. What are we going to do with Lamar Jackson? Seriously, what in the world are we going to do with him? Harbaugh yesterday, John Harbaugh was at the owners' meeting, and he got hit with this like a freight train. And like he was walking the tracks like in Stand By Me, and they couldn't hear the train rumbling, and it just plowed right through them. Because he was like, oh, no. Lamar Jackson claims that on March 2nd, March 3rd, he asked for a trade. John Harbaugh's like, not only will he be the quarterback next season, he threw in the caveat, he's going to be happy about it. He goes, he loves his team, he loves his coaches, he loves Baltimore. Like, apparently he doesn't. Like, what are you talking about? He's trying to, it's like one of those movies where the corporate guy has to answer for things that have been leaked, where he doesn't know. Like, that's how they hit Harbaugh. He got 40-something questions, 37 of them were about Lamar Jackson. Like, nothing to do with anything else that was going on.
And for the longest time, too, it's hard to even name a Raven.
Right.
All we care about is Lamar Jackson. For this past year, past year and a half now, that's all we've wanted to talk about is Lamar Jackson.
I know. Lamar Jackson,
literally is the only person on the team.
Is it a big story from the ramifications? Yeah, but it's it's I don't know where this is going to go for both of them, to be honest with you.
Because then you all of a sudden you have reports like the Jets going, oh, no, we're not actively pursuing Lamar Jackson.
Right,
we're working on a deal with the Packers. We're committed to that.
Right.
Which I think is stupid. Because, I mean, what are you going to get out of an aging quarterback who contemplated retirement in a dark cave?
Why would you admit to that, too, when you can still, like, if the Packers, if you could feel out the desperation from
leverage.
The Packers, right, where the Packers are like, look, it's either Jets or we got to keep him or he's going to, what's going to happen here? Because we agreed to the contract, so if he shows up to work, we got to pay him. And, we got to put him to work. So if you're the Jets, why wouldn't you dangle the carrot, even if you don't believe in it, dangle the carrot of, we're kind of interested in Lamar Jackson, too.
Yeah,
let's just see. Why not? Well, we need a quarterback, so if this doesn't work out, and we'll see.
Yeah, because from the latest reports between the Jets and the Packers, they're nickel and diming over a draft pick.
Right.
And they're trying to figure out that draft. That would be perfect leverage.
Right. Why not say,
it's like, you know what?
A 26-year-old quarterback, they'll be the future for us
MVP.
For a while. Former MVP. Rather than a 39-year-old quarterback that may quit at the end of the season.
Or midseason.
Or whatever he wants. Exactly. But, again, is it a big deal? Yeah, it's a big deal. We're going to get more into it because there's the Colts are interested, the Patriots now reportedly. But no one has made the one offer that allows Lamar Jackson to go, okay, I've got this now. What can we do with this? We have yet to see anything that has allowed this story to move forward. This story is on a loop that just goes up and back and forth. Does he get anything? No. Has he gotten any deals? No. Has he gotten any progress? No. It's the same story as it was when he finally was able to negotiate with teams. He hasn't been able to do anything. Tony D, Ron Culver, it's Wake Up Call as we continue along on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's as we continue. We'll have Final Four coverage coming up this hour as well.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the Sportsnap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue along on Wake Up Call on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. Again, we've been buzzing a little bit about Lamar Jackson after the news came down yesterday where he put out on Twitter telling his fans or like setting his story that he had asked for a trade early in the month of March. And that's where we stand now. John Harbaugh addressed it yesterday at the owners' meeting and really didn't have much to add other than, nope, he's going to be a Raven. He's going to be happy. He is happy being a Raven, and we'll see. But in the end, that's what you're supposed to say when you've been blindsided by news that is something released by that. Look, the Lamar Jackson story is extremely important. It's not just a quarterback. We've been saying this all along. It's not just a quarterback changing teams. It's not just a young former MVP changing teams that could change the dynamic of a franchise. It goes to at the heart of where the negotiations with quarterbacks are going to be. So I'm going to add a little twist because I've been saying for a while that if Lamar Jackson gets a guaranteed deal, it opens the floodgates where now that's going to be the expectations and that's where agents are going to be fighting for their clients down the road. Every young quarterback that enters this league that is up for their first contract going forward, if indeed Lamar Jackson gets the fully guaranteed contract, that's what they're going to ask for. They're going to say, all right, you did it for Deshaun Watson. You did it for Lamar Jackson. My guy's in his rookie deal. He's done this, playoff appearance here, et cetera. Now we want to fully guarantee. That's just going to be the normal. Did Lamar Jackson get hurt by not having an agent? Yeah, he did. Because in the end, I don't know what – he needed somebody to tell him and sell him in a way that I don't think he could sell himself.
I don't think it's past tense, though. That, you just said, did he get hurt? I think it's still hurting
I think
him.
He's still hurting him, yeah.
Because now you're in a situation where you come out and make a statement saying, oh, I asked the Ravens for a trade, and the Ravens are going, no, he loves it here. And then you have other teams going, we're not interested, or we are interested. Are they contacting Lamar directly?
Right.
Or is that tampering?
That's what you're wondering, right? Like, you don't – an agent is more than a guy that just reads the fine details of the contract,
yeah.
Right? It's – all the legalese that come, he's the guy that pitches you. As I said last week, he's the guy that goes in and says, he's the moon, he's the stars, he's the sun, he's the universe, he's everything that is and everything that will be. Like, he's the guy that sells your godlike talent. that you don't necessarily do, that you're maybe uncomfortable doing, or maybe you're not uncomfortable doing, whatever, but you still need another person to do that for you. You still need a guy that's like, when the team rolls its eyes, the agent is supposed to go, "Why are you rolling your eyes? My guy's awesome." You're like, "No, he's done this, and this."
Remember Jerry Maguire? He kept fighting for, I can't remember character's name. Cuba Gooding Jr.,
yeah.
Rod Tidwell,
yeah.
I knew that brain cell still existed
yeah,
somewhere.
Yeah, your memory is amazing.
But that's what he was doing the entire time. And then he had to go to Rod and say, "Hey, you need to step up your side to make my job a little bit easier."
That's right, that's right.
And that old bathroom scene.
But the other thing that it does is an agent can give you the realistic scenario. Like, say, look, there's this world you live in, and then there's the real world, and the real world has consequences. And here's the deal. If you can't get a guaranteed deal, you're not playing quarterback. If that's the choice you want to make, you got two choices. I can't get you the guaranteed deal. You can not play football, or you can play football for $40 million a year with some of it guaranteed, right? Like, what do you want here? Like,
yeah, because I have no doubt right now. I have no doubt he can get somewhere in between Josh Allen and
absolutely,
Mahomes.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's very real. And I think a team would be so quick to offer a deal like that.
Right.
But if they're saying, you know, if he's coming back saying, "No, I need something fully guaranteed. I need something fully guaranteed." Teams aren't going to bite on that. They're going to be like, we'll roll with this guy.
What is there? There's a Greek proverb. It's kind of famous, and I'm going to butcher it. So maybe I should be looking it up before I say it. But here I go. I'm going to try it. There's an old Greek proverb that says, "Society is great when men plant trees they know they'll never see the shade." Right? Meaning that there's people willing to do stuff for the future generation. Right? So I probably butchered that, but it's the same idea. You plant a tree, you know you won't live to see it provide the shade, but you know your kids will get to see it, right? Your grandkids will get to see it. Is Lamar Jackson feeling like, in the end, all right, I'll take one of these deals that's 260, 140 of it guaranteed, or whatever it is, right? I'll just take the standard deal where it pays a lot, but only a portion of it's guaranteed. But if I fought the good fight, meaning I'm laying the tracks down for other people to go after this. Or does he want it because he just wants it? Because he's like, no, I can't live in a world where Deshaun Watson gets this and I don't get this. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's two sides. So there's that Greek proverb, meaning I will do something for the greater good of the future quarterbacks down the line. And then there's the other side of it. It's like, hell no, I want guaranteed money because if there's one person in this league that deserves it, it's me.
And see, honestly, I would like to think that that's what he's trying to do.
Right.
But like all quarterbacks, I think they're all divas.
I do too. I think it has nothing to do with a future generation.
We all know this about quarterbacks. They are the front man of the band.
Right.
And I think it's me. I'm looking out for me. I'm not looking out for we. I think as you get older, you start looking out for we.
I don't think a 26-year-old quarterback who won an MVP on his rookie contract is thinking, I'm going to do this so that Arch Manning can get a guaranteed deal. Like, I think he's saying, look, I didn't cause the problems Deshaun Watson caused. I'm not problematic. I didn't have my team say, don't play for us. We don't want you anywhere near our organization. And how? So why does he get
not wrapped up in a scandal, right? That
he didn't win an MVP? He didn't win 60-70% of his games. He gets it, but I don't. Why is he valuable and I'm not? I think it's exactly what he's saying.
Yeah, right?
Exactly what he's doing. But he also needs a realistic person in his life to go, you do understand that this is an outlier, and outliers exist, and it's not fair, but they exist, right? Sometimes somebody makes $20 million for a movie that bombs, right? Sometimes somebody gets a promotion because they're related to somebody. It's just the way the world works. And sometimes somebody gets a guaranteed contract in the NFL because the owner's crazy, right? And he's desperate. And that's not a situation that they want to repeat. So maximize this. Let me help you maximize this. Because you're barking up a tree that's not going to produce any fruit here.
Yeah.
You know? But if he's realistic, if he comes back down, so that's what we talked about yesterday, right? Did he request a trade from the Ravens because he felt the Ravens aren't going to give me guaranteed money, but somebody will? Because if nobody will, why doesn't he just play for Baltimore?
Or is it, you know, along the lines of like, well, you know, they're not really making any substantial contract offers.
Right, right. They're not They're not. So and in the end,
because I'm also curious about this, is that if the Ravens have made a contract offer, is it at a place where he feels it's disrespectful for his
talents? Yeah, exactly. Right.
You know, I mean,
maybe that's the case.
We know he wants the Deshaun Watson fully guaranteed money. That's been all the reports. But maybe he wants Patrick Mahomes.
Maybe, yeah, you're right.
Where it's, you know, it's like, hey, I want to be a Raven for life. Why aren't you offering me a 10-year deal?
Remember, he hasn't really come out with a manifesto that has said, I want the guaranteed money because of this, this, and this. He hasn't really done that.
No.
This is the reports that we're hearing. But we also don't know, has he seriously contemplated exactly what he would take? And if that's the case, if you're Robert Kraft and Meek Mill is telling you that he'd like to be a Patriot, do you go, fine, I won't give him guaranteed money because we're all kind of wink, wink, not doing that. But I would make I will contact because, I mean, yeah, are there going to be teams interested in Lamar Jackson if he can get a standard, normal, big money quarterback contract that's in the realm of what we're seeing with other quarterbacks? Yeah. Is he going to get a deal from somebody that's fully guaranteed? I don't know, because we said this all along. You don't want to be the owner in the room that does it the second time. You've already seen the backlash on the first.
I mean, what's funny, I'm looking at Mahomes' contract. I looked up Allen's yesterday.
Right, right.
Josh Allen's yesterday. Josh Allen is, you know, obviously less money, but is more guaranteed than Mahomes. Mahomes, I mean, he signed a 10-year, $450 million deal, but only 141 of it's guaranteed.
See, that's crazy.
And we don't. And it's, you know,
I was trying to mentally do the math of what percentage of that overall contract is guaranteed. Forget it. I'm done.
But what's funny to me is that have we ever really paid attention to guaranteed? Like,
no. No.
Like if Mahomes fulfills this 10-year deal, he's getting $450 million.
As
they might restructure down the road
right.
to make it more cap-friendly and blah, 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 blah.
That's what Tom Brady did all those years. All those years, right? Everyone said he always took team-friendly deals, but he still got paid on the back end of it. He didn't play for nothing, but they worked it out so it was all cap-friendly. Yeah.
And no matter what deal Lamar signs, it's life-changing money.
Yeah, right.
It doesn't matter. I mean,
right.
his grandkids are going to be
and
fine.
And that gives me the answer. Like, is this a principle thing or is it an ego thing? Or is it like negotiating tactics? Meaning, the more I push this guaranteed money, the more I push that guarantee up to a point I am going to take it, even if it's not fully guaranteed.
Right.
That's the only thing. But the Patriots are now in the mix. Colts in the mix. Washington says they're – but nobody has made anything – close to something that
every team can say, hey, we're in the mix.
Yeah, that's right.
We know like 10 teams that won't.
All right, Final Four coming up next. We've got three teams that have never been here before, including, and then one that won it all four times. We'll talk about that. Coming up next is Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And again on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. The Final Four on Saturday. And boy, you had, I always like to say, give me 24 hours on something and I want to see where people go with it, you know, with the analysis of something. The initial reaction is always great. And then once people marinate on something, like a Super Bowl matchup or a Super Bowl result or an NBA playoffs or whatever it may be, give me 24 hours to see. And what I found was last night, even going into this morning, people are wondering, is this the most bizarre Final Four that has ever happened? And what's the future of college basketball? Because there's a Conference USA team in it. There is a Mountain West Conference team in it. There's an ACC team in it that doesn't involve North Carolina, Duke, or maybe Louisville, I guess. I mean, and there's also, again, there's a UConn team that may have been underseeded at 4 because that's a very talented team that went 14-0 to start the season and then hit a lull, came back, and played very good in the Big East. Okay. Let me just say this, is that I would love for the initial reaction of this to be, this is now wide open, all of you mid-major schools or non-big power six schools. It's wide open now. Look, you can make it to the Final Four out of this conference and that conference and whatever. And the transfer portal is going to allow the blue bloods are dead. Look, 360-plus days ago, we had a Final Four that consisted of Duke, North Carolina, Kansas, and Villanova. So can we slow down a little bit on the blue bloods are dead? It's a new era in college basketball?
Tony, it's a new era in college basketball. Year in to year out. That's how you do it.
That's how you change things up. That's how you do it. So, but I see where people are coming from. I know where people are coming from.
Just look at the Elite
Eight. Yeah.
There was no blue bloods in the Elite Eight.
No number one seeds. They all took a dive. Yeah.
That's how it's going to be from here on
from
out.
From here on out. I understand where people are coming from. I think this is an exciting time for the sport. Nicole Arbeck put out a tweet yesterday, covers college sports. She says, and it's kind of a prediction, because the women's tournament has South Carolina, Virginia was the number one seed, LSU with Kim Mularkey's in there, and then there's Caitlin Clark in Iowa, right? So you got all this women's basketball star power. So she said, the women's Final Four will see record ratings. The men's Final Four will see record lowest ratings.
Right.
Do you think she's right?
I think she's right.
Is not comparing each other.
Here's the deal, right? But, you know, one thing that she did leave out, and I don't want people to think this way, is like, oh, the women are going to outdraw the men. It's like, no.
No, that's not what she was saying.
Yeah, exactly.
She was saying within their own bubble, women's Final Four will get its own best ratings ever, not compared to anything else other than itself, and the men will have the lowest ratings compared to itself.
Yeah, because what are we seeing? Besides UConn being in the tournament, we have three first-timers.
Right.
Two of them are, what, like 5 miles apart?
Yeah, right. Yeah, in Florida, like, Atlantic, and Miami. Yeah,
they're right next to each other. So it's that argument that we have every year, like, say, during the World Series. You know, you want the big market teams to be there. Because we already know, like, oh, if the Yankees aren't in it, New York's not watching, or Boston's not in it. You know, if you're getting, like, what was it, 1 year, it was like Chicago. Who did the Cubs play? Did they play Texas?
In the World Series?
Yeah.
Oh, they beat Cleveland.
Cleveland.
Yeah.
So you had Chicago and Cleveland. The rest of the country's like, all right, you know what? I'll watch it to see if one of these two teams can win.
Yeah, right.
But that's their region. We don't care.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to run into the same issue here, is that, you know, you have four schools that people kind of know where they are or kind of know about.
So you get a Final Four this weekend of UConn and Miami, right?
Yeah.
All right. Great. Fine. San Diego State, Florida Atlantic. Okay, fine. There's no way those two compare at all. It's not even in the same universe as last year's Final Four between North Carolina and Duke in Mike Krzyzewski's final year.
Yep.
Like, that is something that you can draw every crowd, every audience from around the country to. Like, hey, remember this guy over here, 40 years at Duke, winning national titles and going to Final Fours? It's his last year, and guess where he is? The Final Four again, and oh, by the way, he's going up against his arch nemesis in the final. Like, that's a storybook.
And that's also writing. Part of the problem, because you know these four schools probably won't be there next year.
Right, yeah.
That they're I mean, essentially, I hate to use the phrase, but they're one and done.
So if you are all about underdogs and Cinderella-ish stories, if you're into that, this is your Final Four. But I've always said, this is not what America wants. America doesn't want it at this stage. Have your fun on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the first two rounds. That's always good. But the audience you're trying to draw from that doesn't include the diehard basketball fans, you're going to need a program that goes, hey, I got a little pizzazz and some history in our life.
All right. But what about this? What if would we have the same feeling, or would it be a similar feeling if we, you know, the feeling we had last year, right? Because like you said, Duke, North Carolina, Villanova was in. Who was the fourth team was?
Last year?
Yeah.
Kansas, Duke, North Carolina, and Villanova.
Villanova. So, I mean, you have rich basketball programs.
Right.
What if it was the four number ones this year?
Good question. Good question. Because
you have four teams. I mean, outside of Kansas, you have four teams that, I mean, one of them doesn't really have
Houston
basketball
made
history.
It to the Final Four a couple of years ago. Alabama's not been there.
Right.
And Purdue, I can't remember the last time Purdue was in the Final Four.
I mean, Houston has some basketball history.
Right.
You know, when we talk about Fly
sure.
Slam Pajama.
Right.
Does Alabama?
Alabama
or Purdue,
does not.
Do
Alabama
they have
does
basketball
not.
Basketball history at
no,
all?
No, they do not.
So I think it's maybe it is a sign of the times that we're just seeing this kind of change.
Yeah, and it's is it good for the sport? Yeah, it's good for the sport, but I don't know if it's good for the audience. I mean, that's the whole thing. Like, if you're a guy that's on the, all right, I like college basketball, but I'm not a, I don't Like, there are some people that love NBA and don't like college. Some people love college, don't like NBA. Some people don't like basketball at all. But they'll go, eh, what the heck, it's a Monday night, I'll watch a championship. Or it's a Saturday, I'll watch a Final Four. Are they drawn to this? Are they drawn to a Florida Atlantic? Because they're great stories. My goodness gracious.
Oh, yeah.
They're great stories. This Florida Atlantic team is a blast. They are a blast.
Have you got – you got to check out Florida Atlantic's Wikipedia.
Oh, okay.
Because it shows – you know, they like for any college basketball team, it'll show, you know, their Final Four appearance, their Elite Eight appearance, Sweet 16 appearance, you know, blah, blah, all the way down. They've only been to one other tournament.
Yeah.
That was last year's.
My goodness. And they're in Boca. Right?
Yeah. So when you see it, it's literally, you know, here's their Sweet 16 appearance 1 year. And then their Elite Eight, same year.
Same year.
The Final Four, same year. And it's just funny looking at that. It's like, yeah, there's no history at all.
I can't wait to see the watch parties in Boca. You got any low salt options? Excuse me, is this going to be over by 7? I got Canasta coming up at 6:30.
Is that why they're first?
Right? Yeah, exactly. Is that why they put them in the first? So, yeah, no nightcap for Florida Atlantic. Heck, Monday, if they make it to the championship, that might be at 3:30 in the afternoon. So all of Boca can watch them play.
That's right.
Be taking their little golf carts to watch parties in Boca. What a school, though. It's in Boca Raton, Florida. Mike, what a school. Lane Kiffin was like, this is one of the most beautiful places I've ever been, and I've been to a lot of campuses. What else
is in Boca?
That's about it. It's like north of Miami and retirement homes, right? Golf courses and retirement, right?
And you can go to school there.
Exactly. I think it's like Miami, Fort Lauderdale. No, I think it's Miami, Boca, Fort Lauderdale, Jupiter, West Palm Beach. It's all that strip of South Florida that's right along the coast.
Yeah.
Right? It's like a there's like a train that runs all the way down from like Mingonia Park all the way down to Miami. Right? And you've got the Hurricanes, who people in South Florida just adopt when they get there. Like, oh, might as well Miami. And then you've got this little tiny Conference USA school. And by the way, if you're the commissioner of Conference USA, can I offer congratulations? Because the top two teams in Conference USA, Florida Atlantic is in the Final Four for the NCAA tournament, and North Texas, who came in second, is in the Final Four of the NIT. They play tonight against Wisconsin. So I guess congratulations are in order, Conference USA.
Conference USA, is that a Power 7 school
now? Are they gonna apply to get into the Power 6? I know people want to jump on UConn and say, look, this should be easy for UConn. It's not easy for UConn. This UConn is extremely talented. And yes, they may roll over both of these teams. But I go back to what Jerry Palm said yesterday, and I think this is a really important point. You've got four teams that won games playing the way they play against teams that play the way they play. And San Diego State is the one team that can make you play uncomfortable. Make you play an entirely different game than you want to play. And I wouldn't sleep on the Aztecs. This is a program that's been coming along over the years, but now the door is cracked just enough for them to get through. Their defense is sluggish. They will slug you down.
I thought for sure they were going to have some deep runs with Steve Fisher.
I did too. It's amazing that all those years.
Yeah, they've always missed out.
They had Kawhi Leonard, suffocating defense. They still have that suffocating defense. They got a guy in Darren Trammell who never got an offer from college. And these little stories are great. However, the large picture is, without the major blue bloods, let's see if Nicole Arbach is right about it. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio. Again, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. And Good, the Bad, and the Dumb, coming up in hour number two.
And Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
I do want to know about these schools that make it to the Final Four and the exposure that they get. How much do people go, Florida Atlantic, maybe I'll go to school there. Maybe I'll apply to go to Florida Atlantic.
Yeah, when you start to see the commercials of the school.
Exactly. Maybe you'll go, then there's Miami. There's like, oh, well, and there's Miami, too. But Miami's been known for a long time.
Yeah.
So, but maybe I'll venture down to Boca and go to Florida Atlantic. San Diego State. You're from San Diego. Is San Diego State big there, or is it?
San Diego State, I mean, it's the biggest school in San Diego.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Is they have a huge fan base?
They have a huge fan base because it's really the only college, the only sports college.
Because there's a University of San Diego.
There's University of San Diego, and then there's University of California San Diego.
What's the University of San Diego?
Well, let's see. There's two. UCSD, which is University of California San Diego. It's kind of similar to what UCLA, Berkeley, and all
that. Right.
They're more on the medical side, the science side.
I mean, got it. Okay.
They're right next to, I mean, it's a beautiful campus right next to the ocean.
Yeah.
I would go there. Yeah. I'd be distracted all the time, but I would go there.
It's like Pepperdine.
Exactly. USD is an up-and-coming like sports school. I think it's the oldest school in San Diego, the oldest university in San Diego. And its sports is kind of growing. If you remember Jim Harbaugh?
Yes.
I think Jim Harbaugh was the head football coach.
Yeah, I know he spent time in San Diego before he went to Stanford.
Yeah, that was a really pretty campus, too. It's right there in Mission Valley, or just above Mission Valley,
right.
In a nice secluded area. It's like the only thing that's in this area. But San Diego State's the one that reigns supreme. I mean, their football team, they play it. I don't even know what it's called now. It's called Qualcomm, Jack Murphy, whatever you want to call it. They still have their home games there.
Marshall Faulk played there.
Yep.
Now, I remember there was my cousin went, like, he did one of those spend a year at another's college kind of exchange program. He was in some college in New Jersey, and he got to go to San Diego State for a year and then moved to San Diego.
Of course he did.
He's like, that's it. That's it.
It's the best. San Diego, honestly, has the best weather year round.
Yeah.
It does get cold, it does get hot. But if you can withstand those 2 weeks, perfect weather.
The only time I ever went to San Diego was on a family trip, and it was July, and I couldn't believe how cool it was. I was like, this is crazy. We were at the San Diego Zoo with the kids, and I'm like, it's going to be 75 degrees here in July. I've never been in 75-degree weather. Even in New Hampshire, it's not 75 degrees.
And it's a cold 75. I mean, that's why, you know, at night, we were all used to you just had a sweatshirt in the car just in case.
Right.
Because if you're hanging out by the ocean, that breeze starts kicking off the water. Yeah, you're going to need a sweatshirt. Wearing shorts, but you need a sweatshirt.
Three schools in the Final Four with great winter weather and good weather year-round in San Diego. And then there's UConn. Then there's Dan Hurley in UConn, who could win their fifth championship. When we had Mike Crispino on, I said, this is one of those schools that like you kind of forgot they won national championships. Mm-hmm. You kind of go, oh, yeah, that's right. I totally forgot they won that year.
Can they be considered a blue blood?
Yeah, I think so. Look, they won in 99, they won in 2004, they won in 2014, they won in, I'm trying to remember the other year that they won, but they've won 2011. So they've won in 99, 2004, 2011, and 2014. And they've been to five Final Fours. I think they were in there in 2009 and didn't win it. That's five Final Fours in the last 25 years.
Yeah. Four championships, six Final Fours.
Six Final Fours, including this one. So
a ton of Elite Eights, a ton of Sweet 16s.
Right. Jim Calhoun, Kevin Ollie won that title in 2014. Had a disappointing last couple of years. Then now Dan Hurley's got him back from the Hurley coaching family. That Bobby's now a coach. Their dad was a legendary coach in Jersey City at St. Anthony's. So now they're back at the top. It's UConn women, you know, they dominated the sport for an eternity.
And they dominated UConn.
Right. Yeah, they dominated UConn, right? And then, but you couldn't sleep on the fact that Jim Calhoun, back in the day, had a team that was like, hey, don't forget about us. We're in the Elite Eight. Don't forget about us. We're in the Final Four. Oh, by the way, we just won the whole thing. Ha ha. Right? I mean, they've been a school that has been, look, when Duke wins, it's a big, huge exclamation point and a big deal. But UConn is one of those schools that you kind of almost forget how successful they've had in 25 years. They've won four in 20. All right, 99 was the first one to 2000 now. So six final. That's a good chunk of percentage of getting to the Final Fours in 25 years.
Yeah, and honestly, I'm looking at this too. There's only one Final Four that didn't lead to a national title.
Yeah, 2009. Yeah. So like that's as close as you're going to get to being a blue blood. Yeah, so you might as well be one.
Well, UConn, I mean, we're sitting here talking about it. I was like, yeah, every time they make it to a Final Four, it usually ends up being a national champion.
Well, look, I understand Kansas, for example, has got a lot of heritage, and it's basketball and Fog Allen Fieldhouse and a bunch of tradition. I get that. Don't get me wrong. But Kansas won one last year, and then their last one was in 08. So don't tell me UConn's not a blue blood if you're talking about a school that won, that's in it today, won it in 2014 and won it in 2011. Just within the last 15 years, they've gotten three Final Fours and possibly three championships if they win it this weekend and on Monday. So, but the other thing you're not going to be able to avoid this week is the euphoric, enthusiastic emotion of the three schools that are in it for the first time, including Miami, that's got a rich football history. It's all about the U, et cetera. And now, finally, Jim Larrañaga is taking that program to the Final Four. And listen, if you're a fan of an NFL team and you're a Detroit Lions fan, I'm looking at you, Robert, on Twitter, and you get to the NFC Conference Championship game, that's great. But, you know, in the end, you go, If you get to the Final Four in college basketball, you don't win it. There's a little bit of disappointment, but you can really take a lot of mileage out of getting to the Final Four. You can feel like, you know what, this is awesome. What a fun run this is.
I mean, that's almost a championship in itself.
It really is.
I mean, yeah, you want the national titles, and but if you have a Final Four appearance, I think we put a lot of weight in that.
When South Carolina went, I remember I was so nervous for the game because I really wanted them. Like, I just saw them in Madison Square Garden. But I remember my wife was saying, hey, you want to go to dinner? Let's go to, like, a Buffalo Wild Wings or a place like that. We can watch the game and have dinner. And I'm like, all right, that's cool. But when we got there, it was packed, and there was a wait. And my wife was like, do you want to wait? And I'm like, no. Like, I'm not – no. I'm like, unless I can watch TV while I'm in the lobby, like, no, I have to be – I got to – don't – please, let's not – this is the only chance I may have in my lifetime.
My team
to see
needs
the game.
Me right now.
The game
now.
Is tipping off in like 5 minutes. I really need to be watching this. Like, yeah, I felt like I had some power to win this.
We all feel that way.
But I didn't want to miss one second of it because I know I'm a realist. I know this isn't going to happen all the time. For Florida Atlantic, this may be it. This may be – Dusty May should be packing his bags now.
Yes. Yes, he should.
Right? I mean, seriously. Like, his agent is going to get a million calls.
Well, I mean, you look at one of the coaches in there,
Jim Larrañaga.
I mean, that's what he did.
George Mason's like – Florida Atlantic's only going to pay you so much. I'm going to pay you $5 million a year. But you know who else? You know who will pay you $5 million a year? A lot of schools that really want you as a head coach. But we talked about it. You can make a name for yourself as a coach. Jim Larrañaga did. Porter Mosier did. You get these schools into this Final Four, and next thing you know, you're on everybody's short list.
Yep.
Dusty May is going to be on everybody's short list, right? Now, Brian Dutcher, who did it for San Diego State, he may stay at San Diego State. He followed Steve Fisher there. He's been there forever. Why would you leave San Diego State?
I can understand leaving Boca.
Right.
I couldn't understand leaving San Diego.
I can't imagine him sticking around.
I mean, we left San Diego, but that's just because San Diego said, we're going to raise the price here.
Yeah.
But if he's the head basketball coach at San Diego State,
I'm sure he's fine. I'm sure he's fine. But also, too, I just mentioned this earlier. If you're talking about a conference that had its number one team make it to the NCAA tournament as a 9 seed with 31 wins, and the second team in the conference that finished just a couple of games behind you, North Texas, have to go to the NIT, then you're in a conference where you have to win the whole thing and you're not getting invited. And he deserves to be a coach where I play in a conference where 7 of us get invited.
Yeah.
Or 6 of us get invited, or whatever it is. And there's not the pressure to win the conference tournament, or I have to play in the NIT, or the CBI, or whatever it is. I want to be at a Big Ten school, a Big 12 school, an ACC school where it's deep, and I can finish just above middle of the pack, and I'm okay.
I have a winning record.
Yeah, I'm in the tournament.
I don't have the stress in the tournament. No.
That must have drove him crazy. He's clicking off wins every night.
Well, you look at some of the schools that, like the ACC or the Big East that sends in 6-7 teams every single year, and you they're not stressed about the conference tournament. Sure, they want to win it.
Sure.
But it's not do or die.
Yeah, they don't have the same saying, which is it better to lose and rest before the tournament? Like, he's in a conference where it's like, no, you can't. You can win 31 games and not get invited to this thing if you don't, if you have a bad week at the conference tournament. All right, Good, the Bad, and the Dumb is coming up in hour number two as we continue more NFL news and, of course, focusing on the Final Four this week in Houston. It's Tony D. It's Ron Culver. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.